On this beautiful Mother's Day, we had a total of 98 present for Sunday school. We had 67 brought Bibles, 52 prepared lessons, and an offering of $40.84. The banner class was a junior class with 6 on row and 5 present.
Take your hymn book and turn to hymn number 72. First and last stanza, hymn number 72.
This morning, all the ones that slipped in here for our Mother's Day service, I think our young people have a nice treat for us and a special later on. I don't know exactly when. And I was told that these beautiful flowers here are in honor of our mothers, not for our mothers. But that goes way back to my first ever Mother's Day here at Promised Land when I destroyed the bouquet. And everybody was so nice here at Promised Land, no one wanted to hurt the new pastor's feelings and tell him, stop and don't do that. But I did. And I said, here, y'all go, and passed them all out. But that is a beautiful bouquet. We'll be honoring all of our mothers. We have some baskets up here with some special treats and recognitions, some thoughts for you. And if you got a bulletin, the Mother's Day message, which is very applicable to everyone, not just moms. And so I just want to welcome you here. I know some of you made a special trip to maybe be with your mom this morning. I know some are absent from our church because they maybe went to be with their mom, and some are remembering their moms. I know many of you have on some beautiful corsages, and I didn't know this till a few years ago, that the white corsages represent that your mom has gone on to be with the Lord, and I think it's red or different colors represent that your mom is still living. And so I just found that out. You always learn something new. But I called both my moms this morning. I have a stepmom and, of course, my real mom, and wished them a happy Mother's Day. And I appreciate those. We had several that called my wife, knowing that her mom is in heaven, called her and wished her a happy Mother's Day, even some of our own church members here. And I appreciate that. That was very, very sweet and very kind. And so I just want to tell you thank you. Just again, I'm thrilled to have you here. Maybe there's somebody you haven't had a chance to speak with. And if your mom's around, or if you just see a mom and you want to hug them, if you're like, my moms are in Texas, so I'll just have to hug some of y'all. I got tickled just now. Of course, it's an old running joke now that Brother Emmett and Miss Karen like to harass one another. And he was harassing her and said, listen, if you want to make it to Father's Day, you'll leave me alone right now. That's hilarious. God still saves souls, and I pray that we have someone saved here at Promised Land, and hopefully today. All right, remember our young people, remember those that are traveling. I know Brother Evans getting married Friday. Pray for his new life and new wife. And that everything with them, that's on top of Mount Nebo. Not quite on top, but it's up there. And so remember this. If you have an unspoken prayer request, let me know by lifting of your hands. And thank you for sharing this.
Rest and relaxation and a nap along the way. We keep you super busy 12 months out of the year. Sometimes I think you go to sleep with a cell phone in your ear. I don't know how you do it. It's a wonder you don't drop. But you're the best, number one.
About Jesus and a special love for me, and how we'll be together for all eternity. Well, I know that the Savior lives and He's here in this place. I see Him smiling back at me when I look at your face. So, happy Mother's Day. Mother, I just like to say, you're the greatest of all time. I'm thankful that you're mine, mine, thankful that you're mine. So, happy Mother's Day. Mother, I just like to say, you're the greatest of all time. I'm thankful that you're mine, mine, thankful that you're mine, mine, thankful that you're mine.
Okay, I want to ask, we've got some gifts for all the mothers that are present here today, and I think we're prepared. We don't have enough flowers, roses for you, but we have enough gifts for you. And what I'd like to do now is I think there's a poem going to be. No, not a poem read. Okay. So I'd like to ask all moms to stand at this time. And if you're a mom, and when you get your gift, you can sit down. That way they can spot you. And I'm going to ask these two young volunteers as they'll pass these out. And just thank you for being a good Christian mom.
Why God made moms. These answers are given by second grade children. Why did God make mothers? One, she's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. Two, mostly to clean the house. And three, to help us out of there when we were getting born. How did God make mothers? He used dirt, just like the rest of us. Number two, magic plus superpowers and a lot of stirring. Three, God made my mom just the same like He made me. He just used bigger parts. What ingredients are mothers made of? God made mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world in one dab of mean. Two, they had to get their start from men's bones. Then they mostly used string, I think. Why did God give you your mother and not some other mom? One, we're related. And two, God knew she liked me a lot more than other people's moms like me. What kind of little girl was your mom? One, my mom has always been my mom and none of that other stuff. Two, I don't know because I wasn't there, but my guess, she was pretty bossy. And three, they said she used to be nice. What did Mom need to know about Dad before she married him? One, his last name. Two, she had to know his background, like was he a crook? And three, does he make at least $800 a year? And did he say no to drugs and yes to chores? Why did your mom marry your dad? One, my dad makes the best spaghetti in the world, and my mom eats a lot. Two, she got too old to do anything else with him. And three, my grandma says that mom didn't have her thinking cap on. Who's the boss at your house? Mom doesn't want to be the boss, but she has to because Dad's such a goofball. Two, Mom, you can tell by room inspection. She sees the stuff under the bed. Three, I guess Mom is, but only because she has a lot more to do than Dad. What's the difference between moms and dads? One, Mom works at work and works at home, and Dad just goes to work at work. Two, Mom knows how to talk to teachers without scaring them. Three, dads are taller and stronger, but moms have all the real power because that's who you gotta ask if you want to go sleep over at your friend's. Four, Mom has magic that makes you feel better without medicine. And what does your mom do in her spare time? One, my mom doesn't have spare time. And two, to hear her tell it, she pays the bills all day long. What would it take to make your mom perfect? On the inside, she's already perfect. Outside, I think some kind of plastic surgery. Two, diet. You know her hair. I'd dye it maybe blue. If you could change one thing about your mom, what would it be? She has this weird thing about me keeping my room clean. I'd get rid of that. Two, I'd make my mom smarter. Then she would know it was my sister who did it and not me. Three, I would like for her to get rid of those invisible eyes on the back of her head. That's why God made moms.
Okay. Now here's where I need some help. Okay. And the youngest mom, or that's the oldest mom? Okay. And do we have a mom here that's 90? Anybody older than 90? I just figured I'd go straight there. Okay, I'm going to ask Miss May if she would come up here, and I'll let Miss Karen have the honors. Amen. That is awesome. I'll give her another hand. The youngest mom, let's start here with, how about 24? Any moms here, 24, lift your hand. One. Did I just see one? Is there any other 24 or younger moms? Anybody out? Okay, well, Miss Megan, come on down. I said the price is right, but that's one thing I know, to never ask a lady her age. I'll give her a hand. So I'm just guessing up here, okay? And the mom with the most children present, and I want to ask right off the bat here, how many moms here have four children present here? Lift your hands. Okay, we have one, two. We knew we might have a tie. And anyone here with five children present? Okay, so how are we going to do this? Get the scissors, cut their corsage in half. And all right, okay. Well, I'm gonna ask. Just come on down. All right. I'll give her a hand. Well, that is awesome. Have the family members here. I'll give her a hand. Okay. There you go.
I did it, you did it.
I'm not doing it. One time Miss Patsy gave, when we were foster parents, she gave up the corsage for Miss Karen too. Thank you. And I'm going to ask every mom that's here that's thankful to have some children, their children present. Every mom that has children present here, please stand. Wow. Amen. Y'all give them a hand. There you go. Y'all may be seated. Okay, that is awesome, and thank y'all. We have a good crowd here this morning, and I'm thankful. I hope you can have a great and blessed Mother's Day, and I'm going to turn it over to Brother Norman now.
Miss Angela has our special this morning.
Patched our worn-out jeans. They soothed our tears and calmed our fears. Listened to our dreams. Somewhere along their golden years, their hair has lost its sheen. The notes to him 110 crackle when they sing, and now they are alone. No children's voices fill their empty homes. We must love them while we can. We must love them while we can. For time just seems to hurry by, and the days slip into years, and the moments that we have will disappear. Love them while you can. The folks that taught us our first words still have much to say. The silver secrets of the world lie beneath those crowns of as they approach the end. We change our role from children to best friends. We must love them while we can. We must love. Time just seems to hurry by, and the days slip into years, and and the moments that we have will disappear. So love them while you can. Love them while you
Thank you, Miss Angela and Miss Marlene. Amen. That was a beautiful song. I tell you what, I was sitting there enjoying the song and thinking that Miss Patsy could, what she could do, so there would to take away the confusion of the most kids present, is that her and Brother Norvalee just need to adopt one more child. Just go ahead and that way they just, you know, can go ahead and knock that out of the ballpark every year. And so I know they'd enjoy it. And so, but anyway, needed more godly moms. I almost rearranged the title because the title's kind of confusing. Now, does that title of that sermon there mean we need more, as in a larger number of moms that, you know, more godly moms? Or does that mean all of our moms need to be more godly? You know, well, I think it's both. I think we need more, as in a larger number, godly moms. And I think all of our moms need to be more godly. I tell you, moms have a have their job cut out for them. Moms, you know, some moms are just doing an outstanding job. Some moms struggle. And some moms that I've met didn't deserve the title. And that's unfortunate. And they didn't have enough sense to come in out of the rain. And I'll explain that in just a second. I was hunting for the perfect illustration. This has absolutely nothing to do with my sermon, but I was looking for a good illustration on moms, and I don't know how it wound up in one of my illustration books, but I just had to share it with you. And I thought this is just neat. And it said this. It said there was two nuns that were headed to work one day, did a lot of volunteer work, and they ran out of gas, and they went to this little old podunk service station, but the service station didn't have any containers to put gas in. Well, the nun remembered in the trunk that she had a bedpan, okay? So got the bedpan, filled it up full of gas, carried it back to the vehicle, and was filling the vehicle up with enough gas to make it to the service station. And somebody driving by said, "Now that's what I call faith right there." So believe that right there. Okay. That'll work. But anyway, it has nothing to do with the sermon whatsoever. Just figured I'd share that with y'all. But anyway, I ran across and looking at this and studying this title and different things. What are some helps for being a more godly mom? And what are some hindrances? We're going to deal with the hindrances first, but 2 Timothy, just a great mom scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Paul is writing to his son in the ministry, and he's bragging a little bit on Timothy's family. He says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned," that means not hypocritical, it's real. "If I have unfeigned love to you," that means I'm not faking it. Did you know there's a lot of people in the world that fake their friendship, that fake being a nice person, because when the least little thing happens, you might see their true colors. But it says here, "And I call to remembrance the unfeigned, the sincere faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also." Moms, what a great thing. Who was Paul bragging on here? He was bragging on Timothy's mom and his grandmother. When my mom was a single mom, and really struggling in life, which she's all, every mom has had their up times and down times, we depended a lot on my mom's parents. We lived, whenever we were, at that time, right after my mom and dad divorced, we were living in some rent houses that were right down the street from Granny and Granddad. That's what we called her mom and dad, Granny and Granddad. We depended. I remember staying home sick, and Granny helped taking care of me after school, being picked up, either riding a school bus, getting off, and walking up the road. Well, Mom didn't get off work till 5 o'clock, and so she's trying to make ends meet and do different things, just really struggling. So I depended on my grandmother, and I depended on my mom. And thank the Lord that we got through that time in life, living with a single mom. Me and my sister living there with my mom. And so we depended a lot on them. You know, you think about all the things that your mom has done for you in order to be a help, in overcoming these hindrances in our lives. You know what I found out as being a parent? Now, this is speaking to all parents in here. That I don't know if y'all know this, but kids create messes. Did y'all know that? Kids create mess. What's one of the most things that there's... most moms are experts at this. Matter of fact, comedian Jeff Foxworthy, he says, moms can clean up stuff that would make the Roto-Rooter man gag. And just in there cleaning it up, doesn't matter, because I remember as a child, I haven't got very nauseated very many times in my life. Matter of fact, I count all of them in my lifetime on one hand. Thank the Lord, because that's something I despise, a feeling that I despise. But I remember, I was sick one time. Mom, and it was from one end of the house to the other. Mom, just like nothing, just like, they put a cold rag on my head. I'll take care of it. I said, Mom, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I can't help it. Lay there, Michael. It'll be okay. And then you have kids. And it's your turn, you know. And then, you know, Mom told me one day, we were picking at her parents. I think Karen was picking at her parents, so I was picking at my parents. And they said, well, you know, turnabout comes eventually. Your parents get old enough, you're going to have to return the favor and help take care of them. And we were picking at our parents. I don't remember which said, no, we're not taking, well, you're going to nursing home. And I said, we're not taking care of you. You're going to nursing home. And we won't have to, and of course, we was giving them a hard time about it. But you know what? Parents, moms, do a lot of things behind the scenes that only God knows about. Only the good Lord knows about some of the turmoil, some of the things that they've faced in their life. Well, there's hindrances to being a more godly mom. And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, we're just going to do a good bit of, and the scriptures are there. You can listen or follow along. I think you'd enjoy reading these. It says here, if you have a King James Bible, it says, be sober. That just means be alert, okay? Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I want to share with you a very, because I've got a lot of ground to cover, and about 30 minutes to do it in, and I've got a nice lunch. I made the dessert today, and actually I just made the cake part. Allie got up this morning with me and put the Cool Whip and the strawberries all over it. Am I making y'all hungry yet? Okay, and it's working. And so I won't keep you that long. But this is pretty interesting. It says, if you ever do a word study on that word adversary, you know what that means? And no wonder it says be alert and be vigilant. I don't know about this, but the devil wants to destroy your children and your marriage. So basically, The devil hates moms. He doesn't like them. You know why? God made moms. Okay? He made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen? And guess what? We're supposed to, and mom, he made them. He said, go forth and replenish. Have bunches of kids. The Bible says, happy is the man, even though I haven't met that man yet. Happy is the man that has a bunch of children. It says that. And but right here, the devil wants to destroy your children. And if he can do it, he knows he's destroying your motherhood. And he wants to destroy your marriage. Who instituted marriage? God did. And here's the cool word, your adversary. You know what that means in the original? It means somebody who will fight, never quit, and never give up. Matter of fact, in the original it says an endless opponent. Opponent who never stops. Opponent who never... No wonder it says be alert and be vigilant, because the devil is never going to quit. I don't care if you've been married 5 years, 5 months, 5 minutes, or 50 years, some of you have been. The devil still wants to destroy marriages. How many of you heard of somebody? I mean, why call it quits after 40 years? Just hang in there. You only probably got another 10 or 12 or whatever it may be. I don't know. But why call it quits then? Maybe it's because of selfishness, and we'll talk about selfishness later on. But folks, the devil, he won't quit. Like I said, 50 years or 5 minutes, he's after your marriage and after your motherhood. He wants to, in other words, he wants to destroy your children. Another thing is selfishness. Let's take a look at this scripture real quick. Satan wants to be a hindrance, and so does your own selfishness. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 20. There we go. It says here, now Paul is bragging on a man by the name of Epaphroditus and Timothy, later on Epaphroditus. And it says here for Timothy in verse 19, later on he brags on Epaphroditus because he almost died for the work that he did. But anyway, Timothy was being unselfish. And he said, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Now here's the selfish verse 21. For all seek their own, that means all means most people, not the things which are Jesus Christ. And you know, what does that mean when we're selfish? And I don't think I elaborated in your outline, but basically, have you ever met somebody who says, you know, I've been raising my kids and I finally got off to college and got them off to college. And you know what I'm going to do? I want to do what I wanted to do. I sacrificed and slaved and sweated so my kids could do this, but I'm going to do what I want to do now. Now, I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm saying some people in life, and I've seen it with kids, and I've seen it with husbands, and they, you know what they would say? I'm going to please me, and I don't care about my kids or my husband. I'm going to please me. You know what that is? That's selfish. And guess what? I've also seen, and some of y'all, whether married or unmarried, all of a sudden, you know, they didn't realize what was going on, and guess what? The mom comes up pregnant. Or actually, I should say, the lady comes up pregnant, then becomes a mom later. You get the title. But folks, some people, just because, listen to this, and I think some of you understand what I'm saying. Did you know just because you have a baby doesn't make you a mom? Because like I said, some people, either A, maybe they haven't grown up yet, or B, they haven't realized the responsibility that God has given to them. Motherhood is serious business. But some people, even in that, you know, some people will take that and say, you know what, I've got to batten down the hatches, and whether you call it a planned pregnancy or a mistake, Folks, that's a responsibility. Planned or unplanned, it's a responsibility. Motherhood is, your Bible says we should be responsible for our children. And it's not, and guess what? When you have children and you find this out quick, they don't care. They're going to cry when their diaper needs changing. They're going to cry whenever they're hungry. And whenever you have kids, life isn't about you anymore. And when we find out that life is not about us, some people don't want that. They'll say, well, I still want to do what I want to do. Folks, that's the reason some people don't serve the Lord, because they want to do what they want to do and they don't want to be responsible to God. And that makes, you know what the difference between a solid Christian is? The same thing, the difference between a solid parent. Some parents don't care, and some parents give everything they've got. Amen. I'll amen myself on that one. All right, next we go to speech. What I call speech can be a hindrance, and the Bible talks about here in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13. Speech can be a hindrance. Now, to motherhood, and what that means is that the things we say, matter of fact, how many of you can remember some things your mom told you or taught you just in her own way? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13 says this, and wherewithal, now this is talking about older ladies, older moms, and wherewithal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. Not only idle, but tattlers and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan, which again tells me that Satan's behind this. If Satan can get you to run other people down, you know what your children will learn to do? Run other people down. If Satan can get you to always have a negative attitude, man, you know what? We don't never had nothing. We ain't going to have nothing. And life is hard. And nothing ever going to work out. And guess what your children will learn to do? Be negative and bad-mouthed all the time. And so, the language you use, my wife works up at the elementary school, and there is not a single word, speaking of an expletive, that any of you can think of right now, and don't be doing that because you'll mess your whole sermon up right now, and so that you can't think of one that she hadn't heard in kindergarten. In kindergarten, she's heard every single one of them in kindergarten. You know why? I'll tell you why. You're so proud of your kids, but they're also repeating everything you say. Okay? They're repeating everything you say, and they're already saying it in kindergarten. So your speech can betray you, whether you're talking about folks or whether you're letting the cuss word fly, and you think, well, I'm teaching them not to say what I say. Wrong. Matter of fact, your actions speak louder than your words. You can preach to them till the cows come home. Don't say or do what I do. But they're going to do what you do rather than what you say. Okay? And that's a thing, how speech can be a hindrance to motherhood, parenthood, whatever. And then last on our list of hindrances is 1 Peter chapter 1. Last on the list of hindrances. These are all, and I wanted to end the sermon on a positive note. That's why I'm ending on the helps last. Okay? The helps. That's good stuff. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. And it says, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, which means God knows what you do, while you're living here on earth, while you're still breathing, It says, past the time of your sojourning. Your sojourning means that you're on a journey and you're just passing through this life. You're only here for a little while. Did y'all know that? I mean, you're only going to be here unless God's blessed you like Miss May and you're going to live to be 90. I don't know if I can be walking at 90. I have trouble walking now. And so no matter how long you're here, unless Jesus comes back, all of you just going to be here a short period of time. The Bible says your life is like a vapor. Let me ask you this. How much of your schedule do you give to the Lord? Did you know your kids are often going to do the same things you do? I don't think I put it in your outline, but I put it in mine. I said, I know this applies to mostly dads, but apply it to moms too. If you put hunting, fishing, camping, or even your family ahead of God, He might take whatever you're putting ahead of Him away. Did you ever know that? God might take away from you whatever you're putting ahead of Him. Now I want to go ahead and qualify. You saying, Brother Michael, we shouldn't go hunting, fishing, camping, recreation, and our family shouldn't do things together? No. I'm saying put it ahead of God. Well, let me ask you this. How do you know whenever you're camping is in between you and God? How do you know when hunting or fishing or any other recreation, you could play bingo? I mean, why? Whatever. Did you know you can put anything ahead of God? You can. I don't care if it's Twiddly Dinks or whatever the name of that thing is. You can put it ahead of God. Well, here's what I came up with. Measure your time. Are you instilling in your kids a love of things and doing things in this world, a love for that, or a love of God and a love of doing things for God? I'll never forget preaching the funeral one time. Four full-grown boys. I mean, this dad had passed away, and he had some big old sons. And I was preaching the funeral, and I was there with the family. Their last name was Knight. Just a wonderful family. And they were all they didn't want to let their dad go, and they were all around the casket. But all they could talk about was the things that, and this is good in a way, that their dad had taught them. Oh, Dad took us hunting. Dad took us fishing. Dad did this with us. But not one mention of the Lord. And which there's, like I say, there's nothing wrong with camping, hunting. I'm just naming off recreations that I enjoy too. I enjoy doing all these things. What do my kids have a greater love for? Are you going to, we're not going to fish in eternity, even though I hope that there's filleted catfish in the river of life, but we're not going to be camping in a fifth wheel for eternity, even though it sounds like it might be fun. Some of you might get old to you. Well, you know what's right, and a love of God is more important than anything. Well, some helps to being a more godly mom. And I hope you find this surprising. But did you know smiling is a help? You may know somebody who is not a smiler. They just don't smile. But folks, I love to see people smile. Matter of fact, it says, and I'll just fly through these, and I'm not going to turn over there and read Proverbs 17 or James 1. I'm just going to refer to them because Proverbs 17:22 says this, a merry heart is like good medicine. And you know what that means? You know, that's not referring really to the smile, but to the attitude. And then it says in James 1 and 2, it says, count it all joy when you fall into troubles. Now, it says trials and temptations. But it could mean troubles, and it could be easily applied trouble. Count it all joy? Well, folks, joy is how you respond. Joy comes from the inside. If you say, I'm not happy, you know what you're saying? Everything around me has gone to pot. Everything around me has gone downhill. Everything in my life is blown out of proportion. And guess what? Therefore, I'm unhappy. But folks, just because you're unhappy, that's based on your circumstances. And just quickly here, the Bible is replete with some examples of people who, in spite of their circumstances, had joy and they had a smile on their face. I think about Joseph, who was wrongfully accused and wrongfully cast into prison, how God used him, and he kept a right spirit. I think of Daniel. They wrote a law in the legislature just to spite him. He said, well, I think about Job. And he went on and prayed anyway, talking about Daniel. Job, I mean, he lost everything he had. You know what he said? Well, the Lord gave, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I think about Paul and Silas and even Jesus and how they reacted. You know, smiling. Smiling is contagious. Matter of fact, I think I've shared this with you before. Next time you go to the mall, smile at someone you don't even know. They may be wondering, oh, I wonder what they want, you know. But really, just nod your head, you know, tip your hat. You know, it used to, men wore cowboy hats and they tipped their hat. Now they just grab their hat. Now we just nod our head. Somebody's passing by. But just smile. Just, you know, and it's contagious. Just try it. Now, also, another thing is contagious. I find when some people don't smile back, they probably don't want to be friendly. They don't want, and the frown is equally contagious. Okay? Having a sorry disposition. But smiling, and what this is, the Bible teaches that even though you're having a rotten day, matter of fact, have you ever met anybody that's having a horrible day and they wanted to make your day just as horrible because they were having one? Folks, I have. I mean, I've been around some folks, and when they're having a bad day, it's kind of like the old saying, you know, about when mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. That's right. And because, you know, but guess what? That's how much power a mom has. Did you know that and just like the poem in the sayings that Taylor was sharing, you know what? Did you know I've met some moms who chose, and they had to choose. And folks, I'm not saying that a mom can't be having a sad day and she doesn't need a hug and just a encouragement and patting on the back. Because all moms have those days where you don't know how it's going to work out and they need encouragement. But I've seen some moms who, just like a merry heart makes good medicine and count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations and trials and troubles, that you choose. And it's kind of like that one Miss Denise was reading at RCI last night. It's kind of like there's only four pieces of pie and five people. And mom says, well, I really never cared for pie. Just so the other people can have the four pieces. It's a choice. It's an unselfish choice. But it's a choice. Even when you're having a bad day, you can put on a smile. It's your choice. You don't have to. You can go ahead and make everybody else in Ashley County miserable if you want to. But you know what? That's your choice. And the Bible backs it up. It's replete with examples of that. The next thing I call is what I call seek. And I'm just going to refer to these scriptures also because these are really powerful. And you know what it says? In Matthew 6:33 it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, talking about your food and clothing and shelter, your needs, will be added unto you. The other one says, in Colossians 3:1-3, it says, set your affections on heavenly things. Things above. Not things here on this earth. And I want to ask you about your priorities. And that's what that whole thing is. Are your priorities in line with the Lord? And if you haven't, I'm so thrilled for the good crowd that's here today. And if you don't come to church regularly, I'm going to ask you, where are your priorities? Now, I'm not saying you're not working hard and making ends meet for your family and taking care of your family. Folks, you can provide for your family and pass along, even though I think it'd be wrong. Just hand all your kids $1 million each because you work so hard your whole life. I think that would hurt them more than it'd help them, by the way. And they need to work for what they earn and learn the value of hard work. But anyway, the kids are saying, no, we want $1 million. Yes, please. You know, so, but yeah, we want things free and easy and whatnot. But folks, let me ask you about your priorities. What about your spiritual priorities? Next to the last, Proverbs 31. I do want to turn, I can't quote these as near as I can those others. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 31. We're talking about service. Now, there's a lot of verses in the Bible. Now, service, I think I've already referred to that when I talked about mom can clean up stuff that'd make the Roto-Rooter man gag. Yeah, she's got a hidden talent for that. And the Bible backs it up. Proverbs 31, verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She takes care of folks. I've told this story also before. When I walk into Walmart, you know what I'm thinking? Sporting goods, automotive section, fishing stuff. You know, when most moms, not every mom, because some moms are selfish, but most moms walk into Walmart and they're thinking, what do I need to get my kids? What do my kids need? That's just built in them. Most moms, it's just built in them. Service. That verse backs it up right there. Proverbs also, chapter 31, verse 20, says, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. There is nothing on this earth more powerful than a tender-hearted, compassionate mom. I have met some moms before whose hearts are tore up. Men are like, well, that four-year-old needs a job. That's what he needs, you know. Moms just want to, oh, what can we do, baby? What can we do? You know, Karen had a great grandmother. She just passed away not too long ago. And when she was like in her 90s, and when she gave you a hug, and she was as strong as an ox, 93, 95 years old, and beat you on the back. You poor thing. You know, just beating you on the back, you know, and you're going, oh, she's hugging you. I mean, it's a hug from Hulk Hogan. It's like that. And, but she said, you poor thing. Yeah, I'm poor. You beat me on the back. And, but compassionate, just tender hearted. That's what that verse backs up. I don't think there's hardly anything more powerful than a tender hearted, compassionate mom. They care. They care. Folks, there's nothing more, I think, wretched than a mom who doesn't care. A mom who doesn't care for others won't care for her own kids. And that's sad. And then lastly, just talking about moms and the strength they have. Many of you know this scripture. And if you don't, I'm about to quote it to you. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And you know what? It says here, and I'm going to ask you this, what about your motivation? What about your motivation? Now, here's what I'm going to do. I've got five things that I'm going to share with you here. And hang in. I got you about another 6 minutes, okay? Y'all can make it. Y'all can make it. I know your stomach's growling, so is mine. I can do all things through Christ when things aren't going your way. I can do all things through Christ when your whole life falls apart. Can you? I can do all things through Christ when someone just called you an ugly word or a bad name? Can you do it then? I can do all things through Christ. When someone messes with your husband or your kids, you say, I can do all things through Christ. I can kill them. Yes, I can. No, not that attitude. Now, sometimes the Bible says meekness, that means strength under the control, is a more godly virtue. And then lastly, I want to use a sporting term. Some of y'all, whether it be football, basketball, have you ever heard this? You need to play hurt. You need to play hurt. You get hurt, so what? I'm coaching softball again. I've coached Allie Jo and Taylor. I've coached Taylor since she was in Little League Basketball League teams when she was 3 years old. Allie Jo coming up, she's a softball girl, softball. You get hurt, toughen up, suck it up. Doesn't matter whether they're a girl, I tell them all the same thing. I've got one out there. She said, my stomach hurts and I think I have a fever. I said, come on, play hurt, you know. And then her parent came to me afterward, after the game, and said, yeah, this morning she had 101. I'm like, just tell them to play hurt. That's what that means. And did you know what? And, you know, there's, whether it be football, basketball, softball, baseball, and some little kid gets hurt and he sits on the bench and I don't want to play up and I got hurt. And you know, we excuse that. And say, like, well, they're a little kid, you need to be patient and gentle. They'll grow up one day. And later on in life, there's people that make choices about playing hurt. And those people who play hurt, a lot of times, not every time, but a lot of times become great champions. Because you know what? They're going to play because they want to do one thing. They want to win, but they also want to help the team. They want to help the team. Now, you want to know what the spiritual application of that is? Is that, unfortunately, some people come to church or in life. Somebody hurts their feelings. And folks, don't worry. I am not above that. I get my feelings hurt just as much as anybody. I do. Now, I'm not saying that you're not in life, folks. You're being very irresponsible and you're fooling yourself if you think you're going to live in this world and your feelings aren't going to get hurt. Folks, your feelings are going to get hurt. We're going to get hurt. I've been hurt. And folks, there's been some Monday mornings where I've quit the ministry. And you ask my wife, I've quit. And then I'd come to my senses. And I'd realize I'm not doing this for me. This isn't an ego trip trying to make Michael happy, being in the ministry. Matter of fact, I didn't even choose this occupation. God chose it for me, and I was going to do it whether He wanted me to, whether I wanted to or not. And if you don't understand that, talk to me about it sometime, about how God lays it on your heart being in the ministry. Sometimes you have to play hurt. Even when people might hurt your feelings, it happens to all of us. It does. And you may have a time where you sit on the bench and you say, I ain't going back to church no more. And then you come to your senses. It may be a month, it may be a week, it may be a year, it may be a decade. I've seen people miss out on a whole decade of serving the Lord. And they say, you know what? It's time for me to get back in the ball game. Because God did save me, and I'm really saved. And I know where I'm going when I leave, but I haven't been in the ball game. You took your own self out. I've seen those stars before, and I'm hurt. I need a sub. And there's been legends told before of people who come back in, got a Band-Aid, got it wrapped up tighter, got a cortisone shot, come back in the second half and want to, you know why? Yeah, they want to win, but they want to help the team. You know whose team you're on? You're not on Promised Land's team. You're on God's team. It's just one of the many bodies on God's team. As we prepare for a hymn of invitation, no matter what your situation, have you been fallen to want some of those hindrances? Do you need some of these helps that I've listed? You know what, Brother Michael? And don't do things because Brother Michael says to. I know some of you say, well, I'd never do that. What I mean by do it because the Bible says to. That's what I mean. That's the most important thing. What does God want you to do? As we all stand and turn to page number
383.